Mark McLean is in the studio with me tonight. He's had a career as a high school teacher in Southern Indiana, and out of that experience has written two novels. His first was titled The Impersonators, and tonight we're going to talk about his second novel, which is Potato Ridge, The Small Town and Its People. Mark, I'm delighted to welcome you.
Thank you very much, Barbara. It is indeed a pleasure for me to be here at WVXU. I've been a longtime listener and supporter of NPR.
This is a fun book to read. And I want you to start out with a passage that introduces us to the culture, if you will, of Southern Indiana, which I always thought was something all its own. And you capture it so well in Potato Ridge. So read for us, if you would, please.
Thank you. In small towns, fresh news is as welcome as the spring rains over sprouting bean fields. He rented the old Grimmie house, the villagers told one another, even though the last of the Grimmies had died off nearly 50 years ago. Houses are named for the person who built the place rather than who lived there at any particular time. It was easier to keep track of things since people come and go, and houses generally don't. There was no need to say, past the poor farm, past the orphanage, past the gun club, right before you get to the old covered bridge. Old farm trucks and dusty station wagons slowed to a crawl when they passed the place, the motorist hoping for a glimpse of something to update the village with the most recent reports. No one had lived in the house for quite some time. Folks like to know what folks are up to. It helps in the general understanding of things. He ain't got no furniture, no car, no telephone, no nothing. He must just be sleeping on the floor.
Thank you. Tell us the time that your novel is set in.
It's set in the late 1960s and early 1970s, in a time when America was experiencing a profound change, political change, social change. And small towns across America were impacted by this almost radical movements of people who were hoping to be able to express their own feelings about things in this world. It was the late 60s when the Vietnam War was raging that had badly divided the country, where people who had not had a voice before were struggling to gain recognition and an identity, political assassinations, Haight-Ashbury, Woodstock, the moon landing, were all big stories in the late 60s and early 70s. And everybody had an opinion about it. It was too much, too fast, or it was too slow, not enough. And somehow or another, we managed to survive it.
At the center of all this action is Felix. There are a number of wonderful characters here, but the action pretty much revolves around Felix. So tell us about him. What kind of guy is Felix?
Felix is an individual who, like so many others in the book, are struggling with issues, with an identity. He was a traumatized Vietnam veteran who hitchhiked into town in the middle of the night and took up residence in the old Grimmie house out on Blue Creek. And he replaced a retiring teacher, an icon, a monument. And she, Miss Harrison, took Felix under her wing and taught him what she had learned in the classroom. And it was Felix who not only was experiencing the role of a teacher in a small public school in rural Southern Indiana, but also dealing with the issues that he had as a traumatized soldier.
Well, you've alluded to Miss Harrison, who I certainly was partial to as a character in your book. And you describe her as a tall, strong, dominating presence, whose students always addressed as ma'am. And she's also very wise in how she deals with them. So read us about one of her wise responses.
If she thought she heard something she didn't like, she would yank her hearing aid from her ear, rap it sharply 3 times on the top of her desk, shake it, blow into it 2 times, twist it back into her ear and say, "And what was that again, young lady?" giving everybody involved a chance to rethink things.
I do want to say, and this passage gives listeners some idea of that, although your novel deals with these serious times of change, as you've described, there's a lot of wonderful humor in the book that certainly balances it. We've been talking about Southern Indiana culture, but from what I can tell, you lead an interesting bicultural life. Do you spend part of the year in Los Angeles and part in Brookville?
Yes, I do. I have had a long love affair with the Los Angeles community. I like the ocean and the desert and the mountains, and I like the idea that there are 150 different languages spoken in the Los Angeles Unified School District. I like the creative impulse of the entertainment industry, the writers, the actors, the directors, the producers, the stand-up comedians, and you know, those who struggle to establish themselves, those who make it and those who don't make it. Rings a bell with me. But I also very much love my home out on Blue Creek, and so I try to have the best of both worlds, the slow and comfortable life in Southern Indiana and the fast pace of Los Angeles.
What's next for you?
I have several things that are on the agenda. I'm working on a third novel that centers around a family who sort of disappeared. As soon as everybody graduated from high school, they went off in their own ways. A large family, 9 children, who have virtually no contact with each other for 45 years. And then one of the siblings leaves the planet. And so all of these brothers and sisters who haven't seen each other in 40 or 50 years come together for the wake.
It's been delightful talking with you. I hope you'll be back when you finish this new novel.
Well, thank you so much.
I've been talking with Mark McLean about his latest novel. It is titled Potato Ridge, The Small Town and Its People. And you'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.
You're my little potato. You're my little potato. You're my little potato. They dug you up. You come from underground. You're my little potato. You're my little potato. You're my little potato.